If you want to become financially independent, come to my seminar. Let me show you how to make the fortune you have always dreamed about.
Ready, go!
What happens if you are named
in Nelson
Rockefeller's
will? You get rich quick.
Stand on the line, play the game again. Everybody's gonna lose and I'm gonna win. Gonna get rich quick. This is my luck.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen out there in radio-free Brooklyn land and podcast land and all those funny, fine places. It is yet another scintillating, fact and fun-filled episode of Get Rich Quick with Josh
and Noel.
We are here today, as always, to get you rich quickly, and in return, you will tithe us 10%.
10%, guys. That's the deal. Know it up front.
That's right. No, we have a little business to take care of beforehand.
Yeah, we do. Okay, so we have been putting our episodes. Okay, so everything airs on Saturdays at 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Radio Free Brooklyn. And then we, Tuesday nights at midnight, so Wednesday morning, put our podcast on iTunes. This is the last podcast that's going to go on to iTunes on that time. After that, it's going to be one day later. So there'll be Thursday morning, Radio Free Brooklyn time, and you can listen then.
Okay, so in summation, starting next week, we will be releasing the podcast portion of this show on Thursdays.
Okay, do you want me to say it a third time?
that was I was kind of confused, I have to say.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It went a little over my head.
How was your week?
My week was fine.
Uh-huh.
My week was fine. I had a little time off this week. And I went for a stroll on the High Line because it's been beautiful here in New York. And on my trek over to the High Line, I said to myself, I've been threatening to go to the Whitney Museum forever.
Okay.
Basically since they opened the new Whitney.
And what, with like emails Street. You've been threatening or?
Yes, I have. And I think they may have my photo there at security probably. And I'm not going to be allowed in. No, but to my wife, basically.
Okay.
I've been saying, Deb, I'm going to go to the Whitney tomorrow. And she's great. You should do that. And then, did you go? No, I didn't go. So I was like, I'm going to the High Line. I got the time. I'm going to go in. So I roll over at about 11 o'clock. Apparently, there is an artist by the name of Frank Stella, who is, I guess, well-known. I know nothing about art other than I know a few artists. And the line to enter was extraordinarily long. And I just said,
like, out the door long?
Oh, dude, yeah. Like, out the door around the corner long. Like, there were easily 100-plus people online.
Yeah, New Yorkers love lining up for things.
They do. It's bizarre, isn't it? It's bizarre, but I guess for art, I mean, art is popular in New York. It's a city created by artists.
Yeah. It's, you know what, it might just be because they all just want to be pricks and say, like, no, I say online.
As opposed to queue up or line up?
As opposed to I'm in line.
Oh, okay.
Like everywhere else in the world says.
Yeah.
Other than the UK, I guess, would say queue.
Queue. They queue up.
Yeah.
Don't they say queue up in Canada?
No.
No, they don't?
No, they say I'm in line.
Really?
Yeah, get in line.
Maybe I've just heard Americans mocking Canadians by saying queue up.
Probably.
But, you know, as always with these little stories, these little pieces of our life, they tend to seg right into the topic of the day.
What? I don't know how that happens.
It's amazing. It just the randomness of it all.
Yeah.
But today's topic is art.
All right.
How we and you are going to get rich quickly in the world of art.
That's right.
And to help us along with that today, we have a guest,
yes,
Noel.
Yes, we do.
Who's our guest?
Our guest is Mr. Matthew Fisher, painter extraordinaire.
Yeah. You can continue.
Friend of the podcast.
Yeah.
Hello,
Mustachio
guys.
Genius.
Yeah.
Mustachio genius. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
We're glad to
have
you.
Helping you out. Well, thank you.
Yeah. Glad to have you. How's it going?
It's going great. It's going great. How about you all?
Yeah. So far, so good.
So, Matthew,
mm-hmm.
In continuation of my story,
yes,
I have seen some of Frank Stella's work on the net.
The World Wide Web.
The World Wide Web. And I got to be honest with you, and this is going to sound, I don't know, uneducated,
mm-hmm.
whatever it may be, but I don't get it.
You don't get it?
I don't get it. Doesn't touch me in any way, shape, or form.
Doesn't touch. Doesn't get you hard.
Nope. Doesn't get me hard. Doesn't get me emotionally erect in any way, shape, or form.
E-erect.
E-rect. E-rect.
Yeah.
E-rect.
With someone like, say, Frank Stella, for the few pieces that I have seen, what do you see as the draw for something like that?
Like, what? The draw would be... It's funny to talk about this, the image of abstraction. Okay. So back early on, you're looking at like 1960, late 50s, he broke down abstraction and made it into an image. So if you think of the ABEX, the traditional abstract expressionists, they were using the paint as a gesture, as a process. And uh-huh. Frank, literally, those early paintings, you know, what's interesting about Stella was that he could have painted his whole life making those early ones that we've all seen, kind of like a repeated grid going down inward.
Mm-hmm.
And he chose to go in different directions at different times. So he never looked back.
Okay.
So the inspiration for Frank Stella is he went forward. You know, the classic case of the artist, the first album was their best.
Mm-hmm.
And the follow-up album was good.
Okay.
But then he just went off in the deep end and made some really, really ugly stuff.
Okay.
But he loves it.
Okay, so it's like our show.
Get Rich Quick.
Yeah, the first few episodes were definitely the best. Is that what you're saying? And then
we just went downhill
just
from there.
Downhill
we weren't
from
afraid
that point
to change and get worse.
I think there is something to be said, though, for him than the idea that he didn't just rest on his laurels.
Exactly.
There's always something to be said for an artist just keeping moving on.
That's right.
He just... changed abstraction, you know, in a way, and he just kept going forward, and he continues to make work that challenges us.
Okay, so everyone out there may be saying right now, who is this Yahoo to be telling us this? So
that's right.
Matt, you are a...
amateur art historian, secondly, and firstly, an artist.
Okay, and can you tell us a little bit about your art?
Well, yes, sir, I can.
Okay.
My art, you know, I went to grad school, went to school in the late 90s, which sounds like last millennium, which it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came to New York in 2000 and have continued my art practice here. And it has resulted in creating what I'd like to refer to as my sunset pictures. They're paintings of sunsets, waves, stylized landscapes that kind of simplify the world, the greater world outside.
Yeah, they're great. And you do... you go around to lots of galleries, you get a lot of press, you're moving up the ladder.
You're the real deal,
you're
is what
moving
he's trying
a shaker.
To say. You're...
I might be the dirt below the ladder, but at least I'm supporting the ladder.
All right, okay. Yeah, you are supporting the ladder, of which...
we are not even anywhere near that ladder.
No, we're not near that ladder.
We're so far away from that ladder. But if just as a quick point, if you want to see what Matthew Fisher's work is like, you can visit his website, which is matthewffisher.com.
Yeah.
And it is I'm going to blow a little smoke up your ass because we both know you enjoy that. But I'm a big fan of your work. That your work gets me emotionally erect.
Okay.
E-erect.
But that's pretty much it. That's all I have to say about the topic.
Okay.
But the point of this show is really about making money with art.
That's right. We don't want to get E-erect.
Yeah.
We want to get F, financially erect.
financially wrecked.
Fiscally. Uh-huh.
Fiscally erect.
Yeah.
And so it seems like it would be a difficult topic to broach. I mean, the I'm going to call it the myth of the starving artist is strong.
It is strong.
In our minds. And, you know, besides kind of what is, so let's talk about this first, out of curiosity. How do you as an artist, right? So we know Noel's an actor. My wife's an actor. Your wife's an actor.
Mm-hmm.
We know the process that an actor has to go through to monetize their art, finding an agent, mm-hmm. finding, getting cast, going to, on calls, all this sort of stuff.
Lowering yourself.
How does the artist sell his soul to make money?
Yeah.
You paint sunsets. No, how does it? Jeez,
what is the process? So let me. So yeah. Obviously, you need to get into a gallery.
No, not necessarily.
No, not anymore.
No. The World Wide Web is an amazing place. Instagram, social media has changed how people view art and see art, for better or for worse. It's funny because thinking about coming here tonight, I work with some younger individuals, 23, 24 year olds, and they look at me as, you know, what they're aspiring to be. Like, how do people know who you are before you introduce yourself? I'm just like, dude, I just cobbled this shit together. I don't know. You know, you get luck. Luck is the thing that they always talk about in school. Mm-hmm. You know, like, who the hell wants to pay money to go get educated to find out that 1/4 of your future success depends on luck? But that's true for me. For myself, and this dates me, my slides were on a friend's coffee table, and a person saw them. And she was interested, and that's how I kind of get started showing in galleries.
Okay.
So just, you know, slides, leaning around, leaving around.
So there's a tip, guys. Just leave your slides.
Leave your slides around.
All around wherever you are, and hopefully some gallerist will pick up your slide and
honestly,
look at it.
If you were to send your slides to a gallery today, they might fucking look at them.
Just because no one sends
They're
slides
like,
to
what the
like,
fuck?
Who is this relic sending slides?
Is this a slide carousel?
No. They wouldn't even know what to do with it. They'd be holding it up to the light because that's the only way they could view it.
Yeah.
Zoom in. No. I think it would be fantastic to have. I mean, first of all, it'd be a ridiculously expensive endeavor, but it might work.
Okay, so that's a tip for you guys.
Yeah.
Slides. So you show around a lot. I mean, I've been to several shows. I mean, I don't know in the world of art, but every couple of months, I'm hearing about a show of yours, either here in New York or somewhere out of state. You clearly have at least a fan base amongst fellow artists, right? Which is a solid thing to have. How has that helped you in terms of getting your work out there and people of financial means seeing it, or has it not at all?
Well, fans are fans. You know, people spread the word, people talk to people. And I think the interesting thing about social media is probably what I'm going to keep coming back to tonight, is that social media has made everybody someone. And having people like your work, talk about your work in Instagram land, hashtag your name, has allowed other people to see your work. And just, you know, your images can go places that your paintings might not necessarily go.
What do you think about your images being seen? Like, and I know your paintings generally are small in stature. They're not big works. They're not like, you know, hey, I need something to fit behind my couch kind of works.
I can get you covered on that.
Yeah. You have
50%
some of
those up front, no refunds.
You have some of those in the back, selling them out of the Hilton in New Jersey. How do you feel about your work being viewed on something like Instagram, where it's so small and, you know, is intended to really be looked at on a phone?
I'd imagine it's the same quandary that's been in the art world forever. You know, how do those that were educated in the theater feel about being viewed on television? You know, it's just not a substitute to see it in real life. It's just a convenience for those to experience it.
All right, so for up-and-coming artists right now, though, who want to get their stuff out there, knowing that Instagram's going to be the biggest place that people are initially viewing this, they want to make things that look good on a phone.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Postage size art is hot.
It's what all the kids are doing now.
Yeah.
Painting angel heads on pins.
Finally.
Forever.
Forever and ever. One of the things that I was looking at, because I was thinking, well, you know, making money on art, that seems like a hard thing to do. But then I was looking like, you know, yet there are artworks that sell for hundreds of millions of dollars.
Just this past week.
Yeah.
Yep, that's right.
Really?
The
164 or something?
Modigliani, right?
Modigliani.
$164
million?
$164. We're talking about artworks that sell for less than 2 C notes on the international scale.
Okay, wow. I didn't realize.
That's, yeah.
His first name's Mo, last name Digliani.
Okay.
He was a village artist, I believe.
Uh-huh. He was. I remember him.
Friends with Stevenson?
May have been. Yes, have been. Friends with Stevenson. Yeah, $164 million. His, apparently, Mo's highest sold, does that work word-wise?
What?
The most a Modigliani has ever sold
auction
for.
Auction record.
Auction record for him, but I think in the top five of all time.
Oh, wow.
The number one being a Picasso at approximately $300 million.
What? Okay, so the money is in that.
There's money there. There's a lot of money in the auction part of it, you know, in the classic,
the
you know.
Dead auction part.
Right, exactly. Yeah. The dead guy. Although, you know, I did look up because I was like, wow, that's crazy. Those are amazing numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you look up living artists and what the highest numbers are, you're still looking at 100 million, 75 million, 80 million. Yes, indeed. You have Jeff Koons, who has many of the top ones. Selling for the number one with Balloon Dog Orange.
Favorite color.
Sold for a staggering $58.4 million in 2013.
Wow.
As far as painting goes, Jasper Johns, living artist. Unfettered Americana, his flag painting, fetched $36 million this past November.
Okay. But as an artist, if you sell the painting for, say, $500, and then you become huge, and someone later sells that painting for $2 million, you don't get a nickel at $2 million, right?
Not in America.
You almost should, right? Because if
England,
music
I do believe,
you would.
I am not a lawyer,
uh-huh.
But I believe in England they have a resale royalty, for lack of a term. Applied to that.
Okay.
So you and there are certain members of Congress, I do believe, that are trying to put a bill like that into effect, that you would get some of that return.
Okay. You should become a lobbyist.
I am. Please support my PAC.
How about we just work on getting his painting sold?
Yeah.
Right.
And then we can get into that part.
Yeah.
That was implied in the resale
part. That's right.
That they've already sold.
So in looking at that stuff, I was sort of like, okay, living artist, dead artist, auctions,
mm-hmm.
right? Auctions, lots of money in the world of auctions, right?
eBay.
Oh, interesting. I didn't even think about eBay as a place to sell your art.
Great place to get a track record.
Really?
No, I'm just joking.
Okay.
I sold this painting for $19.41. That's $19.41.
Look at those bids just shooting up on eBay.
One bid from my mother, who was selling the piece to begin with.
Yeah.
Shell bidding. Hashtag shell bidding.
Just trying to juice it. But then when I was looking at it, there's been a real problem at auctions. Over the past many years, of forgeries of fine works making their way past the supposed experts at auction houses and being sold for tens of millions of dollars to people thinking they were the real thing. So then I thought to myself, well, why aren't people doing this more often?
Yeah.
And, you know, by doing a little click on art forgery, I found out people are doing it all the fucking time.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Constantly. And there is even a market in China right now where you can hire Chinese artists to paint masterworks for you.
Mm-hmm.
You can find it on the internet. There are several websites. So I thought to myself, that seems to be the way to go, right? That's a guaranteed... You don't even have to be an artist to do it. Some research, right? You probably need to school the person that is doing the forgery for you in some of the techniques that were used just to make sure when people, you know, because they put these things under black lights.
Yeah, so you want to use the original materials.
Right, materials and maybe do some research on the artist that you're copying. Right. And see stylistically what he did, if he did like a sort of a sketch out on the piece, because they can see all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, sell it to some unsuspecting schlub for millions of dollars.
Yeah, and I will add this. I would bet that that unsuspecting schlub, if he were to come later to suspect and indeed find out this was a forgery, would fight harder than anyone to keep that a secret.
Yep.
Because that's his asset.
Yep. He may even try to resell it really quickly.
Oh, real quick.
Fire sale.
Yep. That's right.
It just happened. I don't know if your research, Josh, you seem to spend a lot of time on the WW.
I do.
W.
Yeah.
I lost track there. brought down one of the oldest galleries in New York City last year or the year before. Nodler and Company, which is in the Upper East Side, turned out to have sold about 20 fraudulent pieces that all came from the same woman on Long Island who had turned out to hire, I believe, a graffiti artist or street artist to recreate works, and that which she sold around for ridiculous amount of money. So it was almost like a reverse domino effect. You know, and it brought down this gallery. This gallery had been around for like 130 mm-hmm. years.
So there you go.
I bought one.
Did you really?
That's why I'm in a basement in the West Village on a massage table right now, talking into a less than clean mic. No. it's people want to believe that it's real because it's a status symbol.
Right. You know?
That's what it comes down to. You're not paying $164 million for a stylized nude because you think it's revolutionary or going to change the world, because you want to be the dude or the dudette that paid $164 million for that. Like, so I, through my hobby, which I refer to as my jobby job, I've seen The Scream, which was sold a couple of years ago, maybe a year or two ago, for $140 million, like the most expensive work on paper ever sold. It was a drawing of the famous Edward Munch's The Scream, you know, just hanging in some guy's house. And it's, people want to have that trophy. It's the 21st century safari hunt. You have it on your wall, people come over and they just, you know, respect you because you have that $164 nude.
Right. So the question becomes, how do you become the head on that wall? How do you become that trophy artist? I think it's a fine question to ask. So
I'm waiting for an answer.
Where they can Josh has one, maybe.
I don't got one. I have no answer for that at all. So then if the interweb is and social media is more important now, does that diminish the gallerist? Or is the gallerist still sort of the pinnacle?
The gallerist is still the pinnacle.
Yeah.
Because they are able to create and foster and develop your market. But what's interesting about social media is that you can control your message, that you're able to, in essence, you know, market yourself. Marketing, not the market, but marketing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to kind of put you're able to have your own fan base. You're not dependent on the gallery to show your work to the public, but you can show it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
People, it's almost like you can go direct to the source. You know, and the interesting thing, we've all seen it when we go to museums, when we go to rock shows, when we go to concerts or wherever, people want to take that crappy photo of the stage of the work of art that shows that they were there.
Yeah.
That we saw, not like, you know, a professional photograph. It's like a blurry thing that I was in this row at the show and I saw it this close.
Yeah.
Or this far away. And I think that is what Instagram does. Instagram isn't where you're going to make your money, but it's where you can get your message out, where people are going to see your work and become familiar with you.
Yeah. And the gallerist is the guy who's going to get a bunch of rich dudes in a room full of your art and get them drunk on cheap wine and
terrible cheese.
Let you talk up your stuff so that it will purchase. Right?
Yeah, idealistically.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a fucking weird world out there. People trust the gallerists to know what's next.
Yeah.
Almost like soothsayers back in the day. Like, they want to see what's next. And everybody wants to be the person that buys painter X or sculptor X's work for $1,000, turn around, sell it for $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
And the good gallerists are able to kind of do that.
Yeah.
Foster tastes.
So are the collectors really less, in your mind appreciators of art or in it as an investment?
You can have both.
Uh-huh.
You can have people that, you know, you're in it because you love it, first off. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're not spending your weekend at a gallery looking at art. And then there's people that buy it. You know, the true fact is, particularly here in New York, I don't have any idea, but a majority of work gets shipped straight to storage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you like to think somebody buys your painting and there's a little space in the wall and it goes up and it gets appreciated forever. But truthfully, it just ends up being archivally wrapped and shipped to Jersey, to Newark, and it dies in a warehouse. Unless, of course, you become the next Mogliani.
Uh-huh.
At which point they dust it off, bring it out, and say, I bought this for $2,400.
Mm-hmm.
But art lives in warehouses in New York City.
Wow. Yeah. You know, Josh, when you first started talking about counterfeit stuff,
mm-hmm.
I had thought about that, but in my new leaf of trying to be morally responsible, I rejected
uh-huh.
that.
Uh-huh.
Then the next thought, also morally objectionable, though, was to have an artist paint counterfeit money, but that's illegal too. So I thought of a way to combine all these things in a perfectly legal way to up the value of your art. And probably more for beginning artists.
Okay.
You could, as an artist, make your own counterfeit money, preferably large bills. Make a canvas out of that money. Don't spend that money. Make a canvas out of that money. And then do your paintings on the money. And some greedy collector will come and take a look and just look at that and say, I don't know who this fucking guy is. But at the very least, that painting is worth the value of all that cash that he painted on.
The fake cash.
The fake cash.
The fake. It's worth the value of the fake right? cash that he painted on it.
So if I have a 10x10 picture,
uh huh,
that's 10 inches by 10 inches or 10 foot,
10 foot by 10 foot.
That's a big painting,
and it's all on $100 bills that I made myself.
Uh huh.
What do you think that would be like?
A bunch of money.
$18,000. What am I looking at?
Wait,
10x10. I mean,
so
what's the size of a dollar bill?
Even if you're a starting out artist that no one knows, you could say, all right, so there's $18,000 worth of
fake
money on there.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to sell it for $17,000. And some bean counter is going to walk in the door and say, I hate it, I hate it, I hate it, I'll take it, because he'll...
I can make $1,000 of fake uh-huh. money.
Yeah, at the very least.
So this is a get-rich fake.
It's for the artist.
Oh, for the artist.
It's a pitch for the artist.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are forgetting that galleries take 50%.
50%.
Okay, so you're going to have to make a bigger picture.
Bigger picture. We're talking 10 foot. Because 10 foot by 20 foot paintings are flying out the door.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Lots of walls in this town.
Lots of big walls in this
Lots
town.
Lots of big town. Lobbies.
Lobbies?
Yeah.
Oh,
lobbies.
That's huge.
Hotels.
Yeah. Hotel lobbies.
Mm-hmm. Airports.
There's like three of them here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a booming market.
Growing market.
Well, on that note, I think it may be a good time to step in with our Get Rich Quick
Tip of the Week.
Brought
to
us all by our friends at Radio Free
Radio
Brooklyn,
Free Brooklyn,
where you can hear our show and many others.
That's right.
So here's our Get Rich Quick Tip of the Week.
Park So-yeon lays a Korean feast in front of her computer. Then she turns on a video camera, she eats, and thousands of viewers watch her. Park, known as the diva, broadcasts herself eating in her apartment for up to 3 hours every day. Viewers can chat with her or send virtual balloons that translate into cash.
People enjoy the vicarious pleasure with my online show when they can't eat that much, or don't want to eat food at night, or are on a diet.
She earns more than $9,000 a month doing this and has quit her job at a consulting firm.
So there you go, folks. Eating online will make you fucking rich.
Yeah.
The video of this woman had so much food in front of her. She was the size of my pinky, which I have a pretty big pinky, but it's still a pinky. And she was just shoveling food in her mouth, chatting with people on the line.
So it's like porn for people with eating disorders.
Yeah, apparently dieting is such a thing in Korea that people, particularly late at night, want to eat and they won't let themselves, so they go and watch. It's sort of like what people here do where they'll be on a diet and they'll watch the Food Network.
Yeah.
But this is better because you can interact with her. And they get sponsored by restaurants who provide them with the food and pay them as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's like all these money-making opportunities, and it's huge. There are apparently over 3,000 people online in Korea doing this.
All right, so
3,000?
Yeah.
Wow.
Is that a big number?
I think
that
so.
That seems like fucking nothing in
the
WWW land.
But 3,000 people who are just sitting there. I mean, it's not like porn, you know, where everyone's looking for the next person just shoveling food in their face. It's you know, 3,000 people every day for several hours a day are being watched and making lots of money.
Oh, there's 3,000 people doing the feed.
No,
yes.
not watching it.
Oh,
no,
okay,
yeah, no,
okay.
No, no,
I'm sorry.
No. Why 3,000 people? That's nothing.
That's what I was saying.
I wonder how many of the watchers are actually looking at it as if it is porn, though.
I wouldn't be surprised.
There's got to be at least one climax.
Oh, yes, yeah. I'm betting at least.
Yeah.
So once again, you know,
finger food.
Every week we have a topic of which you are going to make, you know, millions if not billions of dollars on. So we also throw out our Get Rich Quick tip of the week. So take that food, mm-hmm. YouTube.
Well, I think we can extend that. I am willing to send video of me making my art to anybody that is starving for art.
Oh,
making.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just email the podcast here, and they will put you in touch with me. And for a small nominal fee, you
large,
can watch.
Large nominal fee.
Large.
Well, large. Internet large.
Okay.
Okay.
Or reality small. You can watch me making art.
Yeah.
I think that's good. So you can even
watching paint dry.
That could be the whole, that would be the extra add-on. They're going to watch you paint.
Well,
and
I'm gone. That's right. That's just a live feed of the studio when I'm not fucking there. You are watching my paint dry.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great.
That's amazing. I said that dirty.
That's okay.
That would be okay.
Yeah, it's going to be on the internet. You want to try and dirty it up a little bit.
It's got to be a little dirty.
If you really
want
to make money.
So
I had another thing, too, that I was thinking about. You know, there's been a lot of this through history. For one, Damien Hirst needed some money to get his teeth done, so he went to his dentist named Adrian Mullish, and he made a deal with his dentist to trade art for dental work. And that dentist got so much art that he became one of Art Review's annual Power 100 list of art owners in 2003. Max's Kansas City was a big hangout for artists, and Warhol, amongst other people, but Warhol in particular, paid $200 of a $774 bar tab with one of his Marilyn Monroe paintings. And then more recently, there is, you know, the Soho House clubs type
mm-hmm.
thing,
hot.
Like almost like urban country clubs
mm-hmm. yeah.
for the rich. They have begun trading art for memberships. And so they will take art from artists and give them a 1 or 2 year membership. Then they're opening galleries, selling that art. I guess it'd be good for the artists too, because they could hang out and schmooze amongst the rich to sell more art. Who else? Patti Smith and Robert Mapplethorpe paid for a month's rent at the Chelsea Hotel. Picasso used to pay coffee bills.
Coffee bills?
Yeah. Coffee shop bills.
It's like $2 a day.
I know. But he did it with art.
Back in the day, like a euro.
I have a recollection of a story of there was one particular cafe in France during that period of time that ended up with like all the great artists of that time, because they all hung out there and they would basically pay their bills with shit they doodled on napkins and stuff like that.
Yeah. So I looked into this, And there's a lot of this going on, and there are a lot of stories with it. It's mostly within the artist's control. It is mostly for higher ticket items. So, you know, I'm going to trade art to have my house redone, or I'm going to trade art for a boat, or for braces for my kid, which is quite a bit of money.
Yep.
But I was like, all right, we got an artist in the house tonight.
Oh, yeah.
So I want to know one question.
One answer.
That's all we want. What bar in New York do the down and out artists hang out in?
It's the probably somewhere in Bushwick. You know, not being a down and out artist, I can't answer that question honestly.
Okay, well, when you were a down and out artist, where did you hang out?
That would be, goddamn, somewhere in Williamsburg back
okay.
in the day.
All right, so
Muggs, Enans, this is like fucking ancient history slash lame today.
All right, so if you are an aspiring art collector, seller in
right.
New York City, I would say,
what bar would you go to?
I would go to a bar, as you said, in Bushwick in Williamsburg, and I would meet some down and out painters that are at the end of the ropes. I would trade them art for a couple drinks. And
what do you want? Like two beers gets you a...
Two beers gets you a portrait.
Anybody here a portrait artist?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Who has a two beer tab?
And I would collect these and stick them on my bed, put them in that warehouse in Jersey.
Under the bed. I like that.
And just wait for one to pop. Once they do.
Sell.
Like a money pimple. It'll just explode.
Yeah.
Those dollars ooze.
You know, my father had bars and restaurants throughout his life here in Greenwich Village, New York City.
Did he have any interesting bar tab paybacks?
I believe the Stevenson painting that you were admiring earlier this evening.
Buried behind your futon?
Buried behind the futon in the basement. May have been a bar tab payback. He had several artists, you know.
Yeah.
You know, because the one thing about that, and I think it's a great idea. I like the idea overall. But, you know, you're playing with fire because you don't know.
Well, you're talking bars. You want to be a dentist. You know, artists need dental work.
Well, yeah.
They need health care. They need dental work.
We're trying to give a path for the average person, not necessarily the dentist. To get
this isn't popular in the dentist community?
Well,
I'm out of here.
We're really trying to target them, but we haven't broken in as much as we want in the dentist.
I think he's looking for a dentist. I think this is his pitch to a dentist right now.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Perfect. How much dental work would you trade for one of your paintings?
A cleaning.
Wow.
Guys,
here's
what's interesting. Interesting from being the person that makes the work. In essence, hopefully I'm not coming off aloof here.
Uh-huh.
What the paintings are worth are funny money. You know, you have a record of sold work that establishes that your prices are X.
Mm-hmm.
And when you stop and you think about that, you almost become aghast, embarrassed, because mm-hmm. it doesn't make any sense that like this,
your prices are X, you say Y.
WHY. So I think it's great to trade it for services, you know, because that's whether it be at your local bar or your dentist or your chiropractor.
All right, so that's fantastic to hear, because although we have not quite broken through the dentist demographic, we uh-huh. certainly have a lot of dental hygienists. We have chiropractic. How about sandwiches?
Sandwiches? I would do, 30 sandwiches as a month.
30 sandwiches.
That's all you want. You know, honestly, when I would sell work from the studio, my whole goal was to pay for that studio's rent for the month.
Yeah, sure.
Because I felt like I was, you know, this this dream I have.
Yeah.
Which is a waking nightmare of full-time work. At least from one afternoon, I paid for my habit.
Yeah.
You know, my smack habit.
Yeah.
Nice. So Wow, your smack habit is such
paint
an
smack.
Artist. Oh,
paint smack.
Yeah. I got gotcha. You. Okay. So, I mean, we do have some fast food workers
we
that
do.
Listen to this show
yeah.
that have liked our page. So,
sandwiches. Shout out to Mickey D's.
30 sandwiches,
yeah.
guys.
Yeah, 30.
Fast. Wait. You didn't say it. I was talking like artisanal.
Okay.
At the bare minimum, Subway sandwich artists.
Okay.
I think we actually
I would do
have
30 foot longs.
30 foot long.
30 feet of sandwiches.
For an original piece of work right. every month. I mean, that's a meal a day for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And see, I like this bartering.
Yeah.
You know, it's a weird thing, though, to play with the barter system in New York, though, because, you know, you still got to make money somehow.
Yeah.
I did the barter thing with massage for a while. And it just became kind of a weird drag. Like, I got things for it. You know what I mean? Like, I exchanged my services for other people's services, whatever those may be.
Yeah.
But in the end, it was sort of like, I need this time to make money because I still got to pay rent.
Well, yeah. This tip was aimed squarely at the non-artist.
Yeah, no. But, you know, it's a good thing to think about. But, you know, look, it's, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's worthwhile. Could you imagine being like just a fucking pizza joint somewhere that you're just loaded up with all these young artists' work just
yeah.
all over the place?
30 foot longs. That is 10 yards of sandwich.
I like to think of it as a month of sandwiches.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Except for February.
All I thought
I'm
was
on a diet in February. It's like 28 feet.
That's the bargain.
That's
they get
the
a
bargain.
Smaller yeah. smaller painting for that. Another way you can get an original Matthew Fisher work is to get married. And
yes,
invite
we
him
do
to
know
wedding.
A friend who got married and got him an original Matthew Fisher as a wedding mm-hmm. present. We were at a party there recently. Saw it.
Oh, yeah. It's on the wall.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We were nice. Like, we were both, because I wasn't at the wedding, and I was like, is that a Matthew Fisher? And they were like, yeah. He was our wedding
yeah.
gift.
Yeah.
Okay. He was our wedding
yeah.
gift.
He was, yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
So if you're a Mormon out there, that may be a way for you to build on our collection quickly.
I actually get it back too after a divorce. It's in a stipulation. You know?
Is it? Do you make them sign a contract? You should. I think it'd be a good way to
that's
do it.
That's a little fucked up.
I think that's a perfectly reasonable thing yeah. to do.
Upon divorce, I want the pressure cooker and the painting bag.
That's right.
Yeah.
In the event that you decide you're going to sell it, you cannot. You have to give it back to me.
Yeah. I was in an improv group that got hired to do a bit at a like a very elaborate wedding proposition event where this
an engagement?
Guy, yes, where this guy had planned this whole crazy show that ends up, it's not just a show that they went and saw. It was a marriage proposal. To his girlfriend.
Was there a fake audience?
There was an audience that was all in masks. That because this show, part of it, you had to watch it in a mask, and it was all his friends and family in the audience. They showed up late, so the show was already going, but it really hadn't been. And so anyway, we had this discussion amongst the improv group, how much do we charge, right? And this didn't fly. I really wanted to do this, though, to charge a very low amount. But if she says no, it's a very high amount. Like, basically, I wanted to
charge. It's a sliding scale, reverse
yeah,
sliding
yeah,
scale.
I wanted to charge like $100 if she says yes, $500 if she says no.
That's not a lot of money, though.
Well, but it was a lot more.
Right.
No, you know, true. It would really just...
Four times more. Five times more.
Turn the knife.
Yeah. Nice. Hey, buddy.
If you're going to make us come out here and do this, she better say yes. Is
yeah.
What, you better be 100% sure.
Did she say yes?
She did. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, she's like, damn, I'm fucking at the lottery here.
You know what it actually
you got
was
this improv crap going and a bunch of people in the audience?
Oh, and there was a band. And band. There was a whole shebang. This guy did it up, yeah.
He shelled it out, huh?
Yeah.
Did you ever follow up on this marriage?
Have I followed them around? You
no,
mean,
no, 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 no. Like, did a little internet sleuthing, Googling them.
Not.
Checking out recent divorce.
This is
records.
Only about a little more than a year ago. So
I've known people who have been divorced in less than that.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah. Come on, now. Come on, now.
As per.
Not everyone's got the staying power.
Yeah. Yeah.
These kids today, they go through them.
Going steady now, I believe.
Well, we've given all of this advice and ideas for how to make millions.
Yeah. What are we going to do with that millions when we get it?
I think at some point we got to spend that money.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So once again, brought to you by Radio Free Brooklyn. You know, we tell you lots of ways to make money. If you've already made that money, what are you going to do with it? We got some ideas for you. If you had made that money, what's going to get you off the couch and get you running out there and trying to meet down and out artists and bars so that you can buy their paintings for two beers and a shot? Well, it's our get rich quick.
Spend that money.
Spend that money. So
what looks like some type of military installation. It's part of developer Larry Hall's cruise ship-like creation. Carved into 15 floors of an old Atlas F missile silo are residential units that cost between $1.5 and $3 million.
The next level.
The complex extends 60 meters underground and features a state-of-the-art movie theater, gym, shooting range, dog park, and rock climbing wall. And much, much more.
This is a engineered facility for extended off-grid living.
The former defense contractor and computer engineer bought this abandoned structure, refurbished it, and began marketing it as a survival condo.
Whether it's a meteor impact or a Yellowstone eruption, whatever your poison is that could disrupt your life, I think it's way better to have a plan for than to, you know, wing it and just hope it doesn't happen on your watch.
So you can spend all those millions on a bunker,
mm-hmm.
a condo bunker with 75 other people.
Mm-hmm.
And these are springing up all over the country. This is not like a unit. There are companies that this is all they do. These communal living bunkers for end of days kind of stuff.
Sure.
And people are... where they have military men that they hire that are going to be part of the community, but they're there to protect you. They have entire grow rooms for your food, triple water filtration systems, air purification systems that you could live for up to 20 to 30 years underground if necessary.
Mm-hmm. And they'll protect you from everything. But the demons within.
Well, nothing can protect you from that. Although this one place, funny you say that, because this one place has a timeout room.
Oh, really?
Yeah, where?
That's where the demons live.
That's right. That's where you.
And this, of course, you're talking about, it was like Timeout New York.
Yeah. No, it's where
the entire
demons...
archive of Timeout New York. Let's pretend this shit never went down.
Yep. Let's look at
the Yellowstone. Is that what the Yellowstone? Who wants to be 1988?
Yeah. So there you go. The timeout room. You can go in there, and if you're like freaking out, if you're losing your shit, they'll just lock you away. It's like a little prison room with a metal toilet attached to the wall. They have windows. Every apartment has windows.
It's a bunker.
Just into
like
dirt?
Ant farms. It's video casts.
Video casts.
Video screen windows that look like the outside.
Oh, that's great.
It's amazing.
What happens with a video cast of dirt?
Yeah. That's above ground.
So you wish you were down below. Yeah, right.
For the people that can only afford the lower, like the 800-850,000 models, they have to look at the video dirt so they think they're underground.
That's right.
They're still a little sketchy on whether they're going to make it through or not.
Yeah. So, Josh, you got any more get-rich-quick ideas?
I'm kind of out. That was it. Yeah. That was my big one, art forgery. I took your morally ambiguous ways, and I felt like... I mean, I feel like making money off of art in its own way is kind of morally ambiguous.
Yeah, but
Have you ever art forged, Josh? Yeah. I'm sorry. Have you ever art forged Peter?
No, I have never art forged.
For the cops that are just tuning in this late in the show.
I have never art forged. I cannot forge. I cannot draw. I can barely draw a stick figure.
You could forge.
What could I forge? Tell me how I would forge ahead, forge forward.
Yeah, I can draw like one cartoon face the exact same.
You just gotta research which artists have done the stick figure. Cartoon. Yeah. Uh-huh. A little Joe Bradley action for the insiders out there that know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Whoop, whoop. You could The Lost Warhol. I mean, how sexy is that?
Yeah.
The Lost Warhol.
It's fucking sexy.
Yeah.
It's super sexy. Anything The Lost is sexy, and that's a big one that the forgers do.
Is The Lost Virginity sexy?
It's sad.
It is sad.
The lost virginity.
Yeah, if we're 16 years old, that's sexy. But now you're like,
it's just sad.
Yeah, come on, buddy. Jeez.
The memories are all that are left, and they're not happy.
That
memories.
Was it.
Uh huh. Oh, not sexy at all.
NSA.
Yeah.
So, do you have anything else, Noah?
I have something that some people wouldn't consider art, but I would, and that's our Twitter handle.
Uh huh.
Which is at GRQ Josh Noel. If you guys want to reach out to us, give us ideas for shows. If you guys want any stickers, if you guys want to give us some rules to judge our get rich schemes with, you know, send us a tweet.
Send us a tweet. You can send us an email even.
It might be better for your address. Yeah.
Yeah. Our email address would be GRQ with Josh and Noel at gmail.com.
You can contact us over Facebook, which is Facebook/GRQ Josh Noel.
I also feel like we've been a little remiss.
We have.
In a gentleman by the name of Aaron Morishita redesigned our logo for us.
He made a fantastic logo.
And it's really great, and we love it. And we had mentioned it the first day that we had bumped it up, and maybe once after that. But I feel it's good to every once in a while. For those of you out there that are looking for any work done, you can reach out to Aaron Morishita at amorishita associates or amassociates.com. He does great graphic design work, which is an art in and of itself.
Yeah, we just got this giant box of stickers that we will send out to you guys. That is really what got us back on topic, because we're looking at them. They look fantastic.
Ideal.
Thanks, Aaron.
For covering up mirrors.
Yep. Ideal for covering up mirrors, for sticking on...
your second self.
Your second self. Maybe the 19th bank that's open within a 4-block radius of your home.
All
not my
windows.
Bank. My bank's closing down, man.
Oh, really?
What bank are you?
I'm the
bank of
HSBC.
Artists. Okay.
Because I'm a successful artist. I need to make sure I have... banks all over the world.
That's right.
Except for where I live.
Yeah.
There ain't a goddamn bank near where I live.
Really?
No.
You guys go to Greenpoint. There's obviously still a little soul out there. Anyway, it's about that time where we take our schemes, we judge them against rules of getting rich quick, culled from the internet. And this week, Josh, where do our rules come from?
Our rules... come from a website called How to Make Money from Your Art.
Oh, boy. Ooh. This one's appropriate.
Insider note, I wrote that website.
Well, then you'll know the answer.
I mean, I wrote it like an email. Oh. Like, how the fuck do I get rich on my art?
So the first question, the first rule is get your financial beliefs in order, which I think is important for artists. I think artists live in a world... where they don't believe in anything other than their art. They certainly don't believe in money, right? Do you believe in money?
Like it exists?
No.
No.
Okay, good. See, I was right. So get your financial beliefs in order. I think we've certainly got our financial beliefs in order on this show.
Well, as far as financial beliefs go, there's only one, which is more is better.
Yeah.
You know, any other financial belief is really another belief that you're calling financial.
And my head just spun on that.
Yeah.
Here's one that you may think is obvious, but some people not so much. Create art that people want.
I get it. Yeah. What do they want? They want art from someone they don't know even that is put on what they believe to be $100 bills.
10 so foot by 10 foot minimum.
There's that.
10 foot by 10 foot minimum, as we discussed. So it might have to be 20
fraudulent $100 bills.
Yeah.
They want big ticket dead guy items.
They want big ticket dead guy.
They want that.
And dead girls.
And dead girls. Dead guy. I'm sorry for those of you out there. Dead people.
Yeah.
Dead people.
Hashtag dead.
Hashtag dead.
The most underrated hashtag of all time. Yo, Uncle Frankie, hashtag dead.
So I think we're definitely checking that. We're 2 for 2 on the rules today.
I'm still alive. People out there, don't worry. I'm still alive.
Yeah.
Your art has not appreciated.
Yeah. Get it while it's hot.
Yet. Hashtag alive.
Number 3, seek out people who are already succeeding.
Yeah,
well, I think we covered
that. That rule applies to every fucking walk of life.
Yeah, well,
that may be true. A lot of these rules do apply to every walk of life.
Yeah, but more so, you know, in art, because yeah. I can sell milk to anyone. I can sell a CD to anyone. But if
CD?
I want to sell
what are we in,
a very expensive painting, I have to sell it to someone that is doing well.
Right.
But he said seek out successful people.
Yeah.
You need to find successful artists.
You got to find successful people to sell that art to.
Right. Whether it be someone who can still afford to pay your bar tab.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's gradations.
Yeah.
You got to work your way up a little bit. But, you know, you show that you're successful, people will come to you.
That's right.
I think is
money
what we're
magnet.
Getting here.
They want you.
And finally, publish or perish. Now, I don't know how this works in terms of
what year was this website?
Well, it couldn't have
been
that part.
It's a
website. I don't know what he's referring to with that, because that seems like a writer's thing. That's a professor thing I've
sure.
always heard of. But I guess the idea maybe is you got to get your art out there.
You got to put it on Instagram.
Yeah, you got to put it
gram.
On Instagram.
Hashtag gram.
Hashtag gram.
So we're 5 for 5.
5 for 5, guys. Get
so
rich quick.
We're getting rich quick on art. So we would like to thank Matthew F. Fisher, who you can reach at, check out his art at MatthewFFisher.com.
Yes.
You can check it out on Instagram at
Desert_C_Captain.
Oh, wow.
On the Instagram.
Or just go to #MatthewFFisher.
Oh,
okay.
Boom. He actually knows how to use the interweb.
Yeah, better than we do.
that was Instagram.
Instagram. And as always, if you really want some beautiful art, you can always check out Herschel_the_Doxador on Instagram. for Josh
and Noel
and me.
Yeah, don't spend all that money in one place.